Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveil Christ to the World broadcast. I'm glad you could be with me today. I want to share with you that we need, as God's people, a vision of the Lord. A vision of the Lord. The word says that without a vision, the people perish. And how glorious are the visions that transform us. Every one of us have had visitations of the Lord, had encounters with God that have really changed our lives, just maybe turned our lives around 180 degrees. And there are those today in some, quote, religious circles who think that God is no longer moving in the miraculous. What a mistake that is. How foolish to think that because some fail, that God is through moving in the lives of multitudes. Beloved, we must have clarity of spiritual eyesight, spiritual vision, because if we lose our grip on eternal things, well, we can allow ourselves to be drawn into the depths of despair because of the pressures of circumstances and the power of environment, because of the world we live in. When everything is dark and the song of hope has died away, God will give us a vision of Himself if we'll seek Him. He'll give us a vision of His glory, and we are once again lifted up above the circumstances. Scriptures say we are already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's a divine, a heavenly perspective. We need to see clearly. The Bible says where there's no vision, the people perish. I've been seeking God through His Word, and I saw the Lord in a new way, in every page, in a new dimension. Isaiah 61 tells us that we're to arise and shine, for our light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you, that's Zion. And even though there shall be darkness upon the earth, and gross darkness upon the people, but the Lord rises upon you, and glory appears over you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Remember Daniel? He was a man who walked with God, who sought God, and it was the third year of Cyrus, king of Tyre, that Daniel received a transforming vision. For 3 weeks, it says he had mourned and eaten neither bread or fish, and it was by the great river Hiddekel that the vision came. And the appearance of the Holy One was so glorious that Daniel was prostrate under the power of the Lord. Then he was told to stand to his feet. And as he stood, the future opened up like a scroll. He saw the days in which we now live. The way was clear, bright, and unmistakable under the light of the presence of the Lord. Look back in the pages of God's Word. Remember that that time in Israel's history, they were preparing to enter the promised land. Moses had died, and Joshua now was leading the people of God. They had crossed Jordan, and he stood before the walls of Jericho. And you know, in the natural, that might have looked like a very hopeless task. According to all the circumstances, it could have been very bewildering and confusing. These men from the wilderness had no arms with which to take the fortress of Jericho. And that was the first city to fall. But I mean, it was a fortress. Its walls rose in forbidding defiance and seemingly said to them, "You're not getting in here. You shall not pass." Its gates appeared to laugh at the leader of the hosts of Israel and to defy his efforts to lead his people in. But something happened. As Joshua stood in the light of that Palestinian moon, his feelings were grave, but something happened. He received a vision. He had a heavenly visitation, and it was in the form of a stranger standing with a sword already drawn from its scabbard. And you probably recall and remember the rest. It was the pre-incarnate Christ before him, and the plan of victory was given to him. Joshua went on his face down before the Lord in worship and obeisance, and then and there he acknowledged the authority of the one who had come to help and conquer. And when they obeyed the word of the Lord, when they marched around Jericho for 7 days, on the seventh day going around seven times, they shouted with a loud shout, and the walls came down. Praise God. They didn't fall by the might of Israel, but by the mighty power of Israel's God. God had again proved that he never deserts his own. He didn't desert Israel. Joshua was able to say toward the end of his life, God has fulfilled all the good promises that he has made to you. And as a child of God, you can say the same thing. He will never desert you. You might be facing some really difficult situations right now, but the Lord will not desert you. He wants you to just go to him. Go to him in prayer and cast your cares upon him, because he cares for you. You may also feel you know, the prompting of the Holy Spirit to share your burdens with me. There's power in agreeing prayer. This is a ministry of prayer, intercession, and correspondence. And as you do that, we'll pray and praise God for the victory. I'll send you back whatever God would have you to administer to you, and I know it'll be a blessing. But praise God. We need to see the Lord. We need to see the Lord. And I've seen the Lord, and I know he wants to do a new thing for you. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord, that's Isaiah chapter 6 and 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. No matter what we go through, beloved, we still have the Lord. Sometimes it takes the death of a king to make us turn to Jesus and trust him only. But if we do, we will have a vision of Jesus. Oh, let's arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has arisen upon us. Praise his holy name. God is equipping his church because the days are evil. There are some people in the world that think, you know, through technology, through science, the world's going to become a better place in which to live, you know, with enough education and diplomacy and scientific advances, that many people will live longer and better and more peaceful lives than previous generations. But what does the Word of God say? Before he left this earth, Jesus said, that was over 2,000 years ago, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be, Matthew 24 and 37. And there's two very important things in this statement. First, Jesus reiterates his promise to return to the world, but also when he comes, the condition of the world will be the same as it was in the days of Noah, which was terribly corrupt. The earth was corrupt and filled with violence, according to Genesis, the 6th chapter, verse 11. And as we read the headlines in the evening newspapers or listen to the news reports on television, radio, we know that in spite of all of our advances in civilization and modern technology, these two evils, corruption and violence, are filling the world today. Places where it was once safe to walk at night are now the scenes of crime during the day. And many things that God has always called corruption and sin are now accepted as personal choices and lifestyles. Note the words of Jesus again. As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. All we have to do is look around at events and conditions in the world today, and we surely can agree with James that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. His coming will occur in two stages, fulfilling two very different promises. First, the Lord Jesus Christ will come in the air with a shout and raise the bodies of Christians who have died and change the bodies of those who are living and rapture them all to heaven, because Jesus said that where I am, there ye may be also. then those who have rejected Christ will be judged when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. So, what camp are you in? Will you be among those who don't know God? And will you perish in your sins? Or will you be among the blood-bought people of God and will be caught up in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, to be forever with Christ? There's a big difference between knowing God and knowing about him. Knowing God is not believing that he exists. The devil's fear and tremble. They know he exists. And it's not saying your prayers or going to church or doing good works, but knowing God is entering into a personal relationship with him through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father or to God but by me. Jesus has provided the only way by which sinners can have their sins washed away, because he bare our sins in his own body on the tree. And according to 1 Corinthians 15:4, he rose again on the third day. So in order to be ready for what's next, the Lord's coming soon. I don't know how soon. It may be years. I mean, there's prophecy yet to be fulfilled. But the important thing is every person that's hearing my voice must realize that you need salvation. You need Jesus. For all of us have sinned, Romans 3:23 and says, and come short of the glory of God. And there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And we can't earn salvation, for it's by grace you're saved through faith, and that of not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We simply have to trust Jesus for what he's done for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. If you will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 16:31 says, thou shalt be saved. So, wherever you find yourself today, in this hour in which we live, you need to turn in faith to Jesus. He'll take away the burden of sin, no matter how great it might be. And only then will you know the one who holds the future in his hands, and you'll be ready for whatever is next. And if you've accepted Jesus, you don't have to fear what's coming on the face of the earth, because you're in his hands. Till tomorrow, the announcer will give you our address. This is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours. My prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.